NZ if you can't catch it live. And thank you so much for your response. It's a huge response this evening. I'm really enjoying your company. Kia ora. Now, a survey of the food on offer at 60 intermediate and secondary schools showed just over 3% met the goal of three quarters of the menu being healthy, like your fruit, your veggies, and those in those lower in processed ingredients, sugar and unhealthy fats. Nearly all of the schools offered soft drinks, chocolate, lollies, deep fried foods, sweetened milk drinks, sausage rolls, and unhealthy packaged snack foods. It brings back big memories. I was going to say dark memories, but actually quite fond memories sometimes of the custard square, mid-80s, Nelson College.
I never understood those.
Well, I did.
Everyone at my school did as well. They loved them.
Now, the study's lead author, Professor Arj Ali from Massey University, is with me. Professor Ali, welcome to the program.
Kia ora. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to be here. My first thought was, gosh, this is still an issue, because it feels like we have been talking about tuck shop food for some years. Were you surprised by the findings?
Well, the first thing I should say is that this was a convenient sample of 60 intermediate and secondary schools that we analysed, so it may not necessarily reflect all of the schools that are going around, but it does give us an indication of what may be happening within a sample of New Zealand schools.
Well, 60 is not insignificant. Can you give us some examples of a typical lunch a school student might buy? Because quite a number of people are buying their food at these tuck shops.
They do, yes. Our research suggests that about half of the students from the 12 to 18-year-old, they do buy in the tuck shops. Now, they also have the money to spend. And if a school, for example, does not necessarily have a canteen, what students are doing sometimes is just going to outside the school, go to their local dairy and buying things there that they maybe want to do rather than what they should be eating.
Mm. Penny?
Yeah, I mean, you know how Labor brought in the ban on bad food in the tuck shops, and then it was reversed by National in 2009. Do you think that's had a lasting impact? Like, if that ban had stayed in place, would we be matching more with Australia and other places that have better rates of healthy food?
Well, you mentioned the Australia. In 2008, the Australian government brought in this traffic light system, the National Healthy Schools Canteens Policy. And as a result of that program, and we've had quite a lot of research on there, they have drastically improved the number of green items, the healthy items, and reduced the red items or the unhealthy items on their menu. So it does work. Mm. It just needs some time to implement. So when, unfortunately, one government comes in and another takes it away, we don't necessarily have the time to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, Scott.
I remember our tuck shop at Tauta College was the best place to go at 7 o'clock at night when you'd go and get your chippies and your Coke and those sorts of things. Professor, my question really is, there's a bit of a trade-off here, right? Because ideally we want everyone eating healthily and the best they can, but are we then also trading off some of these kids who just won't eat then if you only gave them a certain option? Like, where's the balance?
That's a brilliant question. Now, one of the issues that we have, and when we've talked to teachers and some parents as well, is this whole food security related issue. So a school canteen may be the only opportunity to access a healthy lunch, and especially if the home environment is not necessarily as supportive. And so we sometimes do find in our research that the vulnerable communities are most affected by this. So we do need to try and find a happy medium between the two, allowing foods and options for them to take part in healthy food behavior, but at the same time making sure that they do eat food. Now, another Australian study did show with the students when they were interviewed that they wanted healthy food choices. They wanted a better food environment. They were wary that it was higher cost, but they were the ones who were asking for this. Now, it doesn't always mean that what they want and what the behaviour will be, but it certainly is important to have the right environment to allow those choices to take place.
Is there something about the fact that, you know, often these deep fried ones and things in pie warmers and stuff, they're actually easier to keep sort of sanitary and easier to prepare and quicker and things like that? Is that playing into it?
That's another great question too. And yes, there's the profitability of food, and you have to think about, you know, perishable foods and so on. But again, with the Australian example I've mentioned, in some studies there, they showed that as the healthy food options happened, profitability in the canteen did not change. So it is possible to make that change and not necessarily have issues related to cost and perishability and
It's interesting, Aussie, good old Aussie, eh? Like, so Australian schools now average, reading here, about 50% green menu items, well above New Zealand's average of 13.5%. Can you explain a little bit more what Australia is doing? So what do? Do they just literally just offer more, I don't know, green snack foods?
Mm-hmm. Part of that, well, it is the whole food environment and having policies and practices in place. And in Australia, they've made it mandatory, whereas for us, it's a discretionary aspect.
Got it.
So to make that happen, there is a need for more funding. There is a need for having the appropriate nutrition advice to work with the teachers, to work with the school canteens, to allow these changes to happen. And change does take time. It takes a long time to do, and it takes also time to do the evaluation to show the value to the taxpayer, to the ministers, and also to us as academics. It does take time to see this through.
Can I just pick up on that
point, Scott,
Professor? And you know, we'll take a small bite at this. But if there was, you know, one thing that you could say right now that these schools or parents could be doing, you know, not to change everything, but immediately, what would it be?
There's a number of things that we could do. One of them would be to review the dairy products that are used. A lot of the dairy products that are currently available have a low health star rating. And so that could be a healthy swap there. The other thing that I would suggest would be to try and have a veggie option with the main meals. That those sorts of things, simple information that can hopefully be taken on board and then make the long-lasting sustainable change. We're not asking to change everything.
Great.
Really interesting. Thank you so much, Professor Ali from Massey University there, explaining a little bit about tuck shops. Gosh, I know, Penny, I want to have that celery stick with hummus down the aisle.
Yeah, but we used to have these at the our tuck shop. There was like hot dogs that were split in half with cheese on them that then were toasted. They were so delicious.
I know.
I can see what they're up against.
Exactly.
It's difficult.
And also, Scott, you know those raspberry buns?
Oh, yeah.
Raspberry buns, absolutely.
Yeah.
You've got me. So I try, and when I'm making the kids lunch, I try and, you know, use a little bit of reverse psychology, I guess. I have the cucumber sticks in there, and I have some tomatoes and some grapes, and then they might get a couple of squiggles. So I try and see whether they'll be enticed to the lunchbox and then eat all of it.
I'm very proud of my little wee 7-year-old. He does eat his cucumbers nice and crunchy. He eats his little carrots and the biscuit I give him, so all rounded.